born out of water. We all are born of water. To this life, and as we need to know, life is not life unless it is eternal. If we think about life in the terms of just a time, we are misleading ourselves. When God created us, that's Ecclesiastes 3:14, everything He created is to be forever. When He creates you, it was meant and is still meant to be forever. So please get busy with a forever business. You are not here just for a short period of time. You are here forever. And that's what if we do our body. Now, according to Mitchell and others, this was published in 1945, it says a brain and heart are about 73% water. Wow, that's a lot of water. The lungs are about 83% water. And the skin contains 64%. And the muscles and kidney are 79%. And even the bones are watery, 31%. So as you see the picture, two-thirds of us is just water. So there's a lot of water there. That's why we need water. That water needs to be maintained. Now, when I went to college, I needed to go poor in selling books in order to pay my tuition. So I went to many times different cities. When I went to the main office, I have no idea where they were going to send me. Then they says, here's the city where you need to go. So I got the city. My friend and I, we went to this city. We arrived in the city with my bus. The place is gorgeous. The streets all very well paved, clean, and we were impressed. Said, this is a rich place. We're going to sell a lot of books here. We are so amazed. And then as we looked for a place where we were going to stay, a family says, okay, you're going to stay here with me, and this one is going to stay in another house. So we are there. And it came the time that it's time for us to drink water. So I said, may I have a glass of water? Which color do you think they gave to me? The one with the collar. And I looked and says, what in the world? I cannot drink this. I said, is that the water? He says, that's the water that all of us here use. We cook with the water this way. I said, it cannot be possible. And we realized there was no running water in the whole town. This is a big town, but no running water. There's no like something like you come, turn on the faucet and the water there. No. They all have to buy water. And the water they bought is when some of you here are very familiar with this. Like you go with a truck or go some burros and go and get the water from the rain, pots of water. And then bring and sell to the people. I said, I have to spend some money, but I have to go to the store and buy bottled water. And I had to buy, and because so many of them bought it, it was expensive. But I have no choice. I said, I'm not going to drink that kind of water. Muddy. It was mud. So one day I was driving by, and I saw where they are bringing the water from. There I saw a bunch of kids jump in the water. There were burros also there inside of the water. There's a truck inside of the water. And I said, how can anybody be alive in this city? Mm-hmm. Let me continue. 663 million people around the world have never seen a glass of water like this. Things that we take for granted. This is an estimate. But here there's another figure. 1.6 billion people in the world They have no idea who the living water is. Do you understand what that means? But I want you to know. The living water metaphor. Here's what we found. The term living water appears several times in the Bible. Both parts of the Bible. The first portion of the Bible and the second portion of the Bible. And I'm going to give you a very few texts about it. The concept of living water permeates multiple verses in the Bible, each offering a unique perspective of this profound symbol that is really has an awesome impact on all of us. These verses emphasize the life-sustaining and redemptive power of Christ Jesus, painting a picture of his spiritual development as well eternal life. Now, brothers and sisters, when living water from Jesus flow to us and from us to others out there, what happens? As believers, we become like streams of living water ourselves. Do people feel that you are their fount of living water when they come and talk to you? Do you talk to them about this living water? Living water is more than just a metaphor. It is a call to life filled with love, service, and as well, consecration, and then deep communion with God and His people. You cannot have communion without the water. That's the point. I was having a minister's meeting. And even somebody from the conference was there. The ministerial director was there. And we had a lunch, and then we had some theological discussions. And one pastor volunteered information that I found very unique and disturbing at the same time. And I share this with you not with the intent to criticize the pastor, but with the intent for you to inform that it may be a case that one day you may find someone that believes that way. The pastor shared with us, all the pastors, says, you know, I did something different in my church to improve the quality of communion. He said, we no longer have the foot washing first. We have the communion. And those that want to stay, you know, those that are not in a hurry to go home, they will stay and they will have foot washing. It's optional. And you know what? He said to us, my service now has a lot of people, double the amount of people that attend communion. What is wrong with that statement? They broke communion instead of communion. They separated part of the communion and called part communion. That's the same thing the Roman Catholic Church did for a while. They had the bread, they had the wine, and they had the foot washing. I don't know if you know that, but they have. Even today, they claim that they still practice that. Of course, not every communion. They have sometimes in special occasions. Do you know that some of the people that are called evangelicals and Baptists, they also have the belief that foot washing is part of the ceremony that should be practiced by the church. But they, none of them make the connection, biblical connection between the foot washing and communion, because they separate, they think communion is one thing, foot washing is something else. But it's all part of the same thing. And we'll give you the Bible text to show to you. Okay? Hydration is critical to sustain life. You have water, you keep your life. You have no water, life is gone. As simple as that. It's spiritual hydration is vital to maintain eternal life. I feel sad that very few people, pass by the water fountain and don't take a little bit of water. Sometimes they go for days without taking water. That's why sometimes they are very weak and dizzy and not concentrated. Let me repeat. If you don't take the water, you become dizzy. You become weak. your brain is not going to function very well. Your energy level is going to be very low. The probability that you'll be eternal, very minimal. Take water, folks. Take water. Everlasting water. A living water. Dehydration can take your life. Spiritual dehydration can cause you eternal death. That is a fact. Jeremiah 17:13, New Living Translation, says this, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who turn away from you will be disgraced. And I emphasize the word disgrace. Means a person who does not receive grace is the one who turns his back to God. They will be buried in the dust of the earth, for they have abandoned the Lord, which is the foundation, the fountain of living water. This is referring to God. Here is Jesus saying in John 4:14, New Living Translation as well. He says, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. Isn't that wonderful? It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life as well. The secret is there. Then Jesus said, I am the bread that gives life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Notice that the Bible always associates eating and drinking. You cannot do one or the other only. You have to do both. Again, Jesus says, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It says it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them. That's repeating the same verse, giving them eternal life. 4:14. That's communion. And we emphasized before, you have seen this before, communion is about you and I. And that's what communion is all about. On the last and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a very loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. This is the invitation that he's making to you today. He made when you were at home. And the reason why you are here is because you heard the invitation, you are here. He says, those that are thirsty, come and drink. And that's the invitation. If anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out from that person's heart. And the scripture, that's what the scripture says. In verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But now, those that come and drink receive the Holy Spirit. When filled with the Holy Spirit, we will become like streams of living water. There is no doubt. Ourselves sharing the love, grace of Jesus Christ with the world around us. Water is not only for us to take, but also we must give. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 4, in a New Century Version, Paul says this, brothers and sisters, I want you to know what happened to our ancestors. He's talking about the people of Israel that spent 40 years in a desert. What happened to them? It says like this, who followed Moses, they were all under the cloud. Who was the cloud? Jesus Christ. It says, and all went through the sea. Look what Paul says. Next verse, in verse 2, he says, they were all baptized. They came out from the slavery. And the Bible says clearly, when we are serving sin, we are slavers. And the only way for us to get out of Egypt into the promised land, we have to go through the waters. We have to be born again. They all ate the same spiritual food. Now, remember the sequence. They went through the waters. Then now they eat the food. And then the next, it says, and they drunk the same spiritual drink. In our case, we have all three elements. And I like to make in symbolism, WBW. Do we know that what it stands for? The water, the body, the bread, the belief, and then the wine is the drink that we take, which is the blood of Christ, the symbol of the blood of Christ, which is life. So it's WBW. It is for you the formula that you should not forget. The W also stands for the word that gives the living water. So it's water, word, it is what we need. And then it says, they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. And who was that rock? Jesus. That rock was, and it still is, Jesus Christ. So you see the three elements very clear. Then Joshua took the people. Now you have to understand, they come out of Egypt. They spend 40 years in a desert. And what happened to them? They all died except two. They all died. And now Jesus Christ said to them, God told them, you're not going to enter the promised land because you turn your backs to me. Even though we gave you bread from heaven. We gave you living water. You went through the sea, but you turn your backs to God. Your children who have not sinned, they will enter the promised land. So here is Joshua. Told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Do you think that this was just appropriate for the Israel, or is God talking to us today the same way? Yeah. I put this on the screen because of you. I want you to look into this and see Yahshua, not that Yahshua, the Yahshua that is in heaven right now, saying to you, purify yourselves, for today the Lord will do great wonders for you. Purify yourselves. And how we do this? As we go through the waters and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. The priest will carry the ark of, that's verse 13 of Joshua chapter 3. A New Living Translation says, the priest will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as the priest's feet touch the water, what will happen to the water? Same thing that happens before. You move. Remember in the case of the sea, Moses touched. Because there Moses and all the people, right, they came from Egypt, says, oh, what are we going to do? And they talk to God, Lord, what do we do at the sea? The Egyptians there, we have no place to go. God said to them, march. Those that have faith, touch the water and the water will open. And so the water did, and they entered. Now there is another experience. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, you can read over there. It says, here's verse 2. It says, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. After this, he was hungry. Why I put this? I want you to notice that there is a system in the Bible that shows us little by little the truth. Remember the people of Israel, 40 days. They spent 40 days in the desert, each day for a year. 40 years, each year for a day. 40, same thing. Now Jesus is there 40 days and 40 nights also in the desert to prepare to enter the promised land. That's Yahshua. And he fasted, and then he came the evil one to tempt him. He was about to enter the work. So he came. Now from the east, he came to the Jordan. And as he got to the Jordan, also a dove came from above. The Holy Spirit came. And he said, I want to be baptized. John said, no, you don't need to. He says, I must. So that all righteousness can be fulfilled. What that means is that when Jesus went to the water, He did not need the baptism for himself, but he was there standing for every single one that will be reached by grace, because they were not able to meet Jesus or to know about Jesus, but they have a heart that belongs to God. So grace will reach out and will rescue them, because Jesus says, I'm here for them. But for you, that you have sinned, and this one here too that have sinned, we have to go to the cross, because for the sinners, the cross is the way of grace. For the innocent, those that have no idea what happened, Jesus took their place in the water. So that way, he fulfilled all righteousness. Some of you may say, oh, I had a baby that died when it was only 2 weeks. It's all under God's grace that child will be saved. I have no doubt about that at all. Communion, brothers and sisters, had three elements. There is the water. There is the body, and the blood. Three elements. There is no communion with two elements or one element. It's always three. And that's what the Bible teaches. It says here, there was a man named Nicodemus, who was one of the Pharisees and important Jewish leader. I might say to you that he was a person who really loved God. He was a very dedicated, very religious person. And he comes to Jesus. And he wants to know what he needs to be done in order for him to go to heaven. I have no doubt that he was already baptized in Judaism. But Jesus told him, you must be born again. He says, how can that be? I'm old and I'll go to my mother's womb. He says, from the water and the Spirit. And that's what it is. In order for you to have communion with God, you have to be born again. That's what he says. Jesus' answer in verse John 3:3, he says, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, that's a condition, you cannot be in God's kingdom. That I see this and I relate this clearly to the dialogue that between Jesus Christ and Peter. When Peter says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. You have no communion with me. Jesus was basically saying the same thing to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the way into communion with God, yes, you need to be born again. Are you thirsty?
Yes.
Come and drink. Be part of communion. Don't break communion with God. Without the living water, there is no life. Without Christ, there is no communion. It is time for us to remember what he has done for us and to dedicate our lives to a point that this becomes really a moment of eternal life, a decision that we all must make. Yes, the water, the wine represents his blood, and the bread represents his body. Yes, we need the be in communion. The be in communion is to believe, is to behave, is to be. There's no other way but to be in Christ. So I invite you to participate. Commit yourselves. Take communion. You and I. That's what this communion is all about. Here's Christ's invitation to all of us. And some people sometimes, I'm repeating on purpose, sometimes people think that a communion is optional. Yes, if you say that, you may say that, oh, to live eternally is optional as well. I don't know what kind of option is that. Sometimes people say, oh, I have two choices. I can live or I can die. Die is not a choice. Die is just a stupidity. It's you misusing opportunity to be. It's like be or not to be. You know, there's not to be is not an option. It's a consequence. Option is to be what God created you to be. That is only option that you have. Anything else of this is just a consequence. He says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? I have been with you for 3.5 years. Do you? They still did not get it completely. And there are people that are in this church already for more than 40 years, and they still do not get complete the concept. But thank God, we still have an opportunity to learn. He says, he asked them, John chapter 13, verse 12 to 17. I'm reading from a New International Version. I'm saying this because of the people online. They don't see, they are not able to see the screens that you see. And so Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord. Why is so? Because that's what I am. And then he said, verse 14, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. That doesn't look like optional. That sounds to me, by the way, English is my second language. Those of you that speak English only, maybe you went to grammar school and everything else, you can tell me. You also should is a commandment. It's not a, it doesn't sound very, if I feel like, a kind of attitude. Have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And then, I tell you the truth, verse 16. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And then he says, verse 17, now you know. Now you have become responsible for your knowledge. Now that you know these things, what should we do? You will be blessed if you do them. Are you seeking blessing? Is that why you're here? Amen. Do you know what blessing means? To be fulfilled, to be happy, to be complete. No one can be complete, can be happy, unless you are with Christ. A person who has been baptized needs only to wash his or her feet. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. That's what Jesus said to Peter, and that's what Jesus is saying to all the Peters that lives even today. At this time, we're going to divide the